In 1 Corinthians 3, if you would go there, please. 1 Corinthians 3. We've been on a series for a while. The first part of it we called The God of Increase. And then last week we went to a part two, and we're calling it Foundational Principles of Increase. Actually, the Lord changed me in my direction of it, and I'm so glad He did. It's a more advanced way of dealing with it. Amen. And we don't need to work on the Lord's part. That's right. He's faithful to do His part. We need to know our part. Amen. Of this thing. And so we're in the process of going over three foundational principles of increase. And when I say increase, I'm talking about God increasing you. Okay. Him doing it. The first one was honor. Honor. And you know, just like we got across the top of the platform here, the Lord honors those that honor Him. But that verse went on to say, if you despise Him, you'll be lightly esteemed. Amen. You won't be honored. There are a lot of people despising God in these days. Mercy. Oh, they are. Yes. They're despising and mocking. You know, you see and hear things on TV. Yeah. You would not have heard 40 years ago. Right. About God and about the Word and church. Just derogatory, disrespectful. Yes. Remarks. Well, these people are not going to be increased by God.
That's right.
They are forfeiting that. They don't realize it, but they are. I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
You know, you and I are in this world, but we're different.
Amen.
Right? We're not of the darkness and ungodliness. And a big part of our life should be honoring Him.
Amen.
Don't you desire that every part of your life honor God?
Amen.
Including the material part of your life?
Yes.
Certainly, certainly. And so that's why the Lord kept dealing with us to come back to that woman giving that alabaster box of ointment. I didn't know that. That wasn't my plan. I'm seeing it more clearly now. But that was an honor gift.
Amen.
Honor gift. And there's so many answers right there. Judas and the other disciples fell into the trap. He tried to shame this woman for giving this nice expensive gift to Jesus. Tried to shame her and said it could have been sold and given to the poor. But if you read John's account, it says Judas didn't say that because he cared about the poor. He didn't care about the poor. He handled the money. He carried the bag and was a thief and was embezzling. He cared about that money. And when you hear people carry on about that, they're the same way. They care about money. And if somebody, you know, you want to hush somebody up about this, they say, well, that could have been given to the poor. You say, well, what poor? What do they need? And what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, there you go.
Lead the way.
Yeah.
No, they're hypocrites.
Yes, sir.
They don't have anything in mind, and they're certainly not planning on doing anything.
That's right.
It's a good thing to help people in need. But are we supposed to give everything we've got to people in need, and we can't have anything or enjoy anything? Where's that at in the Bible? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, Jesus, that, you know, there was an occasion where Judas went out and some of the disciples thought he went to give something to the poor. Everybody say something.
Something.
Not everything. Something. Yeah, it's good to do something, but you could impoverish yourself and it's not going to take care of the needs of this planet. That's too big for you, too big for me, only God. Only God can do that. Now, I should do something. I can do something, but no, I'm not supposed to impoverish myself.
Amen.
Come on, are y'all with me? Because
yes.
Whether they know it or not, everybody else has the same God I do. The same provider, the same source I do.
Amen.
Now, I know everybody doesn't believe like that, but religion will make a beggar out of you. And religion is always trying to guilt you.
Yes.
Guilt you and shame you. You don't even have to know anything about the rest of it. When somebody is trying to condemn you, guilt you, shame you, it is not God.
Amen.
I said, it's not God. Leave it alone. Go away from them.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
No. Romans 8 says, who is he that condemneth? Not God.
That's right?
Who will lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not God. Not Jesus. That's why he came. To get condemnation off of you.
Amen.
To get you and me out of guilt.
Amen.
This is evil, evil stuff. This guilting.
Yeah.
This shaming. You ever heard the phrase, shame on you?
Yeah.
That's a devilish phrase. It's an ungodly, devilish phrase.
Mm.
Jesus came to shame off of you.
Amen.
Guilt off of you. How'd we get over there? Well, is it important?
Yes.
It's a big deal, these things. And you need to know what you believe. And you need to know why you believe it. And it doesn't just need to be something that you heard Brother Keith say. It needs to be, it is written.
Amen.
Right? So in 1 Corinthians 3 we see, verse 6, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says it again, verse 7, neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but God. That gives the increase. Everybody say, God gives the increase. Look at Psalm 115. 115:12. Psalm 115:12. The Lord's been mindful of us. Does he ever think about you?
Yes.
Does he ever have you on his mind?
Yes.
What does he think when he think about you? He will bless us. He's a blessing God. He's a God of increase. He's a good God. He's thinking about doing something good for you.
Amen.
Blessing you. Helping you. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Well, that's all of us. I said, that's all of us. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. Receive that for yourself. Say it out loud. The Lord shall increase me.
The Lord shall increase me.
More and more.
More and more.
Me and my children.
Me and my children.
That's your natural children. That's your spiritual children. Say it another time. The Lord shall increase me.
The Lord shall increase me.
Well, what if it's not his will?
It is his will.
What? What if he wants you to be poor for his glory? Well, it just doesn't work with verses like this, does it? And see, Phyllis and I were talking about this yesterday. About, you know, why we should have church. Why we should come together like this. Why? One of the big reasons is to get built up so we can lay hold of our inheritance. And receive it. And so when we're attacked, we're strong to overcome.
That's right.
Because when something hits you, the first thing will be what you, let's say it's a physical attack. Something hurts you, hits you physically. The first thing, if you believe in God, then you believe he can heal you. He can help you. But what's the next question? Is it his will?
It is his will.
Huh?
Is it his will?
Yes,
it is.
And see, if you are struggling with that, when you're hit and attacked with a physical problem, you cannot have faith.
That's right.
as long as you are questioning the will of God, you can't be confident. You can't be bold about anything. Is it His will? Is it not His will? You don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Then you will be absolutely faithless.
Amen.
No faith. No confidence. But, and some of these things don't happen overnight. If, week after week,
Amen.
Month after month, you've been hearing the anointed word of God. Huh? And you, over a period of time, you get absolutely, completely convinced, fully persuaded about what He said and who He is and who what His will is. Then when something hits you, you are ready. You will not give. You will not waver. You will not quit. And you will overcome. You'll overcome. Well, the same thing financially. What have we been doing all these weeks? You need to know that you know that you know that God wants you your bills paid. Is that right? He even wants you to enjoy some nice things, some good things. And yes, have plenty so you can give. Plenty to give. Support the kingdom. Help people in need. God is the God of increase. So if anything comes up and you're hit financially, there's some kind of attack or issue or problem, it's not time to get ready when you're attacked. You need to be ready. And that comes, you know, that's why the enemy tries so hard to get people to lay out of church. Because they don't realize, as long as everything seems like it's rocking along pretty good, they can imagine, oh yeah, I love the Lord and I'm doing good and everything. But then something hit after they hadn't heard a good message in 3 years. And their faith is sitting on E. And then they want to run in and get counseling and get in a 30-minute counseling session what they're supposed to have been getting 2 or 3 times a week for the last 4 years.
Amen.
Y'all hear this?
Amen.
You're in trouble. You're behind. Now here's the good news. God's merciful.
Amen.
I said He's merciful. If you'll get right with Him, He'll help you. He'll get you out. He will. But if you're smart, you'll have your little self in charge the next Sunday. Is that right? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Why? Because you need it. You need it for yourself. You need it for your kids. You need it for your family. You need it for your friends. You need it for your co-workers. You need to be strong in the Lord. And that doesn't come by you just idling along, doing nothing. Or just sitting around watching endless hours of ungodly TV or staying on the internet all night. You won't be strong in faith doing that. But you and I, we're going to keep camping on this until our faith gets strong. Right? Strong for increase. Strong for all we need. And that the Lord can bless us so much that we have all our needs met and we're able to do more and more for others.
Amen.
Does that sound like the will of God?
Yes.
It is the will of God. You doing without does not glorify God.
Amen.
No matter what anybody says. You being sick does not glorify God. It's the healing that glorifies God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah, it is. It's the need being met that glorifies God. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
And I hadn't got to my point yet. So the first foundational principle of godly increase is what?
Honor.
Honor. And we're into now the second one, which is, anybody remember we started on it last week? Worship. Worship. In Exodus 20, we have the giving of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are just as good and right today as they were when they came out of God's mouth back then.
Amen.
Do not disrespect the Old Testament. Amen. The Word of God is the Word of God. It'll always be the Word of God. It'll always be true. It'll always be right. It'll always be relevant. Our covenant changed, not God. God didn't change.
That's right.
Truth didn't change. Right and wrong didn't change. So what you'll find is a connection between the first commandment and the last commandment. The first one and the tenth one. Let me read it to you. Exodus 20 and verse 3, the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the very first commandment. There is significance to the order of these things. The first thing God said, and what is so, shouldn't be shocking and surprising, while Moses is on the mount getting the rest of the instructions that went with these commandments, they're down on the base of the mountain making a gold calf. That could be the answer to the question, how dumb can you be? But we better not throw any rocks. Idolatry has always been one of the most serious failures of God's people. Always. And it still is. Just because somebody is not falling down in front of a statue and praying or offering a sacrifice to some other god doesn't mean there's not some idolatry in their life. And that's why we're talking about one of the principles, foundational principles of increase is worship. Because when you truly worship God and you have no other gods, then you're not going to worship stuff. You're not going to worship money. You're not going to worship a house or a car or jewelry or any kind of success in this world. Now, in church, people will always nod and agree with that. But never underestimate the pull of the flesh and the pull of money. Money is a deal. Everywhere. I'm telling you. You know, people who should know better, who do know better, Christian people, ministers, church-going people, lie to get money? Steal? Why? Why would you do that? Because you care too much about it. It means too much to you. And as long as something is an idol to you, the Lord can't give it to you. He can't. He'd be hurting you. He'd be helping you get away from Him. And if it means too much to you, if you want it too much, you'll go too far. You'll cross lines to get it. You'll compromise yourself if you want it too much. And this is part of what we need to do in crucifying the flesh. There are things you need to die to. The things you need to die to. Because all of us have flesh. All of us are in this world. And there are things that you have seen that have caught your attention that you desire. All of us. And that's why so many Christians are mixed up about this. Because they've taken part of a truth and they have made it to be something else and ignored other truth. Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, tells of more than one visitation he had from the head of the church. Visions where he saw the Master Jesus and talked to him. Now you can believe that or not. That's your choice. I was with him for decades and saw the man in every kind of situation. I completely believe him. And But no matter who it is, when you hear a dream or a vision or a revelation, first thing you should check it against is the Bible.
Amen.
Right? And the second thing is against the witness in your own spirit. And if it doesn't agree with the Word, forget about it. Ignore it. Don't accept it. No matter who it comes through. And if it doesn't bear witness with you, then just don't pay attention to it. Just not, you don't have to judge it. It just may not have anything to do with you. But if any of you know much about his ministry, one of the books that has been life-changing that came out of his ministry is How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know about that, don't let the week end without you finding more about it. Go to their ministry. This is Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And get that book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. He tells of how he was injured. His arm was injured, and they took him to the emergency room, and they had to do a procedure on him. And so he was out, and they kept him a couple of days. And he tells of how he was sitting up in the bed, feeling fine, waiting for them to release him. And he heard some steps coming down the hall, and the door opened, and he saw white, and he figured it was one of the nurses. But he looked down, and it was bare feet in sandals. And he looked up, and it was the Master, Jesus. And he said, the Master came in, pulled a chair up to the bed, and sat down, and started talking to him. Whoo-hoo. Yo. Well, you see in the Scripture things like that have happened. Whether you believe that or not, they have happened. And they do happen. And so he talked to him about the different ways that he leads us. By his Spirit, the still small voice, the authoritative voice. He talked to him about visions, about dreams, about some of these things. And anyway, at one point, he told him, he said, if you'll learn how, Brother Hagin said that Jesus is telling him this. If you'll learn how to be led by my Spirit, I'll make you rich. Now, you know, most people wouldn't even believe that. They wouldn't even believe he said that. But, you know, religious tradition. Who is it that wants the church broke? Who?
Satan.
The head of the church wants his church broke and can't do the Great Commission?
No.
But a lot of people have been deceived. And he said when he said that to him, that was different from anything he had ever heard. He's coming out of a traditional group. And he said the Lord knew his thoughts and said, I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. I believe that. Absolutely. And why I brought this up is because that is the giant mistake that the devil has tricked people with. They have either heard of or know of some of the things that the Scripture says against covetousness, and they've applied that to things, that it was just wrong to have anything. But they got it wrong. You know? How many understand it doesn't work to say you should help the poor, but you got to be poor? How much can the poor help the poor? Right? Doesn't make sense. Right? You should support the kingdom of God. With what? With what? Right? No. And you'll hear people say, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. It is not. It is not. It is not.
Amen.
It's the love of my people. Same thing. No, it's not the same thing. There's a lot of people who have no money at all who love it. All they do is sit around thinking about how they can get some.
Amen.
You can love money and long after it and have none. Well, if you can do that, you could have a lot and not love it. Freely you receive, freely it goes. Money is not the problem. Things are not the problem. Expensive things are not the problem. Lusting after them, longing after them, willing to lie, steal, cheat, kill to get it. That's what's evil.
Yes, sir.
Right.
We need to distinguish. We need to separate this. It's not the money. You know, God told the people in Genesis, it's written about what he had made. And he mentioned, he said, in this particular area, there's gold. And the gold is good. That's God talking. Gold is good. God said it was. Huh? Didn't he? It's not the money. It's the love of the money. And they are not the same thing. So when he says, you worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship, that means we don't worship things. We don't love them. And that's why the Lord quickened me. I changed my vocabulary a number of years ago. I don't use the word love concerning anything. That's too much. That's too strong. I can enjoy a car, but I don't love cars. Huh? I can enjoy a nice place to stay or a house, but I don't love houses. Huh? I can enjoy a piece of apple pie, but I don't love pie. Huh? I don't love pizza. I don't love pie. I don't love my watch. I don't love... Are you with me? I love God. And I love people. And everything else is a whole other category. Below that, I can like it. I can use it. I can enjoy it. I can receive it. I can give it. But I don't love it. And I don't have to have it to be content.
Amen.
Hmm? I don't put off, well, when we get that house we want, then I can be happy and satisfied. No, you won't. No, you won't. There'll be something else. Huh? There'll be something else. It might not be the same day, but, you know, I heard somebody years ago, this was 20 years ago, somebody had ordered a brand new, rare, Porsche turbo car. And back then, it was a $100,000 car, and that was years ago. And so they got it, and somebody asked them about it. They said, man, what's the best thing about that car? And they said, the week before I got it. what do you mean? Well, when you get it, at least after a period of time, you realize it's a car,
right?
It's a car. It don't turn you into somebody else, and it immediately starts deteriorating, right? I mean, it's a car. It's not really going to change your life like you imagine that it would. And the same thing is true with a house or any of these other things. We love God. We love people, not things. Everybody said out loud, I don't love money.
I don't love money.
I don't love things.
I don't love things.
I use them.
I use them.
I can enjoy them.
I can enjoy them.
I can help others with them.
I can help others.
But I don't love them.
Don't.
As he goes on to talk about in the last verse 17. Well, I didn't finish that. He said, verse 3, you'll have no other gods before me. You won't make any graven image or likeness. You will not bow down yourself to them. Last week we saw where the enemy, isn't that specifically what he asked Jesus to do?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and all the glory of them. Well, in the scripture, glory always includes the money and all the stuff. So he's showing him all the kingdoms, all the people, all the financial power, all the political power. He said, all of this will be yours if you will fall down and worship me. And the scripture said it was a temptation. Because Jesus, that's his destiny. King of kings. Lord of lords. To rule over it all. And the enemy's trying to tell him, skip the cross. Right? You don't have to go through all that. Just bow down to me. He wouldn't do it. Thank God. What a mess we'd be in. Is that right? Woo! Oh. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. He said, get behind me, Satan. It's written. You worship the Lord your God and Him only. That includes family. You don't worship your spouse. You don't worship your wife. You don't worship your husband. You don't worship your kids. You don't worship your grandkids. Now, the people are used to saying things, but it's not right. They're saying, well, my kids are my life. Well, then God's not. Are y'all with me? I mean, everything revolves around this or that. If it's not God, you're wrong. And you're teaching them wrong. You're teaching them to put themselves first instead of God. You're teaching them to put their kids first. You're going to help perpetrate something that's going to hurt them all. No. One, number one spot. You shall worship. Worship. You know, Jesus said this. He said, don't call any man master on the earth. And don't call any man father. Didn't he say that? Yeah. And he's talking about as a spiritual father. And I know whole religions completely ignore this. But I'm going to stay with what Jesus said. And so there's only one that I call master. Right? And there's only one that I will bow down and worship to. Come on, are you listening? There's only one. He is Yeshua, the Christ, the head of the church. Woo! The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Huh? He is my only master. My only master. Only master. And we worship Him. And only Him. And even though, you know, people would, in church going people would readily agree with you about that, the enemy is always trying to get you and I to be, infatuated with something. And get it on your mind. And long for it. Until even though you're not keeping up with it, you're thinking more about that than you are God. And you're wanting that more than you are wanting His things. And so now, you got yourself an idol. Even though you're not calling it that. That's what it is. Anything that's bigger to you than God is. Anything you want more. Anything takes more of your time and your desire and in your heart than Him. It's another God. It's an idol. It's why it's absolutely relevant today. With all of us. He said, you'll have no other gods before me. If you skip down to verse 17, that's why I said there's a connection between the first commandment and the tenth commandment, the last commandment. What does it say? You shall not covet. Or as Deuteronomy said, desire. You shall not desire your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or that would include husband. You shall not covet his manservant or his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. God's a good God. If it's a good thing, He wants you to have one. He'll help you get it, but not theirs. I said not theirs. It's real simple. No matter if it is the perfect one you always wanted. If it's theirs, it's off limits. You must not let yourself even think about it. Why? Because it's theirs. It's theirs. Notice the language. You shall not covet. What? Your neighbor's. Their house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Who is his wife? Right? Their wife. If it's their wife, it ain't your wife. Right? If it's their house, it's not your house. If it's their car, it ain't your car. I've heard people, you know, well, I'm claiming so-and-so's this or that. Well, you're as wrong can be. I know we talked about the Hagans earlier. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, he had, and this would have been in the, 90s or so, he had a 70s model Bronco that he drove in the wintertime. If there was snow or ice or anything, he'd drive it from his house to school and airport, whatever, you know. And he liked his Bronco. And we'd try to say, Dad, you know, we called him Dad, why don't you get you a new vehicle? He said, I like my Bronco. Okay. And this went on for years, you know, years. Well, some first-year student, yahoo, decides he's going to prove his faith by claiming Brother Hagin's Bronco. And so he told his fellow students, he's claiming Brother Hagin's Bronco. Now, why would you do that? No, I'm asking why. And why would you tell people? See, he's trying to prove how much faith he has. That even the father of the school, the elder, is going to have to give him his Bronco because he has so much faith. Where did he learn about faith from? This is all kinds of wrong. And anyway, I remember it was Christmas time, just a week or two before Christmas, and I was helping Brother Hagin in their healing school. And I was in the back speaker's room with him, and this guy, you know, crass, he sent word to Brother Hagin that he'd let him drive the Bronco through Christmas, but then he's ready to receive it. I know. You want to find him and go, pow, pow. And Dad read that. Stuck his lip out. He said, he ain't getting my Bronco. And man, after that, we thought he never would get rid of that Bronco. I mean, that Bronco stayed there for years and years and years. Well, if the young man wanted a Bronco, could he have asked God for a Bronco?
Yes.
Believe for a Bronco?
Yes.
If he was smart, maybe buy Brother Hagin's set of tires for his Bronco.
Right.
Put some gas in his Bronco. Right? Put some seed in there. But you must not claim Brother Hagin's Bronco. That is covetousness. Well, people do the same thing with other people's wives, husbands, houses, jobs, positions. The list goes on and on and on. And it is idolatry. It is worshiping another God. I know people don't call it that, but the scripture shows that it is. Go to Ephesians, if you would. Or actually, Colossians. It's in both places, but we'll look at this. Man, I thought I'd be further down the road by now, but are y'all making me tell stories? I don't usually tell this many stories. Colossians 3 and 1. I'm excited about this. I said I'm excited about this because what will happen if all of us get completely free from covetousness? What will happen? God will be able to add all kind of things to us. Is that right? And we won't worship it, and it won't hurt us and lead us astray, and we'll be able to have more and do more than ever before. Right? But if you want something too much, God can't give it to you. It'll hurt you. And if you want something too much, you'll go too far. You'll cross lines. You'll compromise. And man, faith in God liberates you from all of this. I don't have to lust after yours. God will give me my own. Is that right? Okay, so you got the latest, greatest car with all the options. I should be happy for you, right? And I don't have to lust after yours. They're making new ones every day. And the new ones are improved. Is that right? I should be excited. But I do not and I must not covet anything that is yours. That includes, let's talk about churches and ministries. Coveting other people's crowds. Coveting other people's buildings and resources and finances. Maybe their own media and have TV or whatever. And, you know, there's all kind of things you can do. Or maybe somebody's particularly graced and multi-graced and can sing and smart in business and good speaker and good looking and everything else. Be happy for them, right? Just be happy and say, praise God for you. And don't say it in a, well, good for you. Not that kind. Not that kind. That sounds exactly like whoop-de-doo. No. If you care about somebody, if you do, you're happy if they got more than you do. Huh? If it makes you mad, that's some ugly stuff. If it bothers you, if it chafes you, if you say, well, I've been a Christian longer than they have. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, what are you calling being a Christian? Huh? I've been in the ministry longer than they. See, you're not even happy for them. That's selfish. Only thinking about yourself. We must genuinely rejoice with those that rejoice.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
And that way you don't judge yourself unworthy. Colossians 3 and 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things on the internet.
No.
On Amazon and or how did we get there? Seek those things that are what? How many think we need to think higher? We need, right? We need to pull your head out of your screen.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
I heard somebody some figures the other day. They said the average person today checks their screen 10 times an hour. That's hundreds of times a day. And a lot of people much more than that. Well, what are you missing? This is not the world. And particularly it's not just your world. Out here. Huh? Uh-oh, did I say something wrong? Did I? It's really kind of funny because I saw some people at a big event the other day, and all of them were standing there doing this, holding their phone up. Well, it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal, and you're looking at a screen of it? You should be experiencing it, not through a screen. Don't let, use technology. Don't let it rule you.
That's right.
Huh? And there need to be times where you go for a period of time without any of it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk to these guys over here. I said, there need to be times when you go for a period of time.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Where you don't, you are not... It's like that, what, Pavlov's dog or whatever it was, you know, the bell would ring and they'd go eat or whatever it was, you know, grab something. Well, ding, ding. People think they have to. They can't wait 3 seconds. They have to find out what it is. Is it really that life shattering?
No. No.
How many people are dead texting and driving?
Yeah.
Over what? Ding, ding. What color are you wearing tonight? Boom. It ain't funny. Let's not let the enemy use this to hurt us or steal from us. Or there need to be times in our day where we go for a period of time with absolutely no, zero, I'm talking about, electronic interruption.
Amen.
Part of being spiritual is developing powers of focus. To be spiritually minded versus being carnally minded. And you need to be able to pray, read your Bible, and have your full focus and concentration on that. And the other will wait. I said, it'll wait. And if you'll do this enough, you'll find out a lot of that stuff is actually just stealing your time and interrupting your thought process, and you need to make some changes. Use it. Technology can be good, but don't let it run you.
Amen.
Don't let it control you. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Saw somebody jump. They're like. You know, there's a lot of people today talking about idols, they worship likes. Likes. They worship likes. They will do almost anything to get more likes of people that don't know them. You don't know them, they don't know you. Moving right along. Colossians 3. And one, if you're risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above. Not down here, but above. Man, if we're thinking right, we want revelation from heaven.
Amen.
We want direction from heaven.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
We want light and anointings and manifestations right out of glory. Right out of heaven, through the Holy Spirit who's in us, to hear. You're not going to find that digging around in the dirt down here. Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And if you put the other scriptures together, we're seated with Him. Woo! Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Everything down here on this earth is like a gallon of milk. It's got a date on it. I'm telling you. And in the end, all of it's going to melt with fervent heat. Don't get attached to things. Verse 3. For you are dead. That part of your life, that part of your being, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is the briefest thing we will ever do.
Amen.
Soon and very soon. If you live another 50 years, another 75 years, it's going to go by so fast, and you're going to be out of here.
Amen.
And I'm going to be out of here.
Yes.
So trying to act like you're going to live down here forever and hoarding things and worshiping things, that's stupidity. Because soon and very soon, it's going to be somebody else's, and you're going to be out of here in one way or the other, right? Use them, but don't worship them. And we should be thinking, okay, I'll be out. I'm going to leave here soon. What am I supposed to be doing from now till then? What can I do? Everybody can help somewhere, somehow. Everybody has grace and graces. You can do something. Instead of nothing.
Amen.
Keep going. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. You see, all this goes together. On the earth. He was talking about setting your affection on things above the earth. So that means you're going to have to mortify. Mortify means kill it. Crucify it. Crucify what? Wanting stuff down here. Doesn't mean you can't have it. Doesn't mean it's bad. But you can't want it too much. And if you do, you need to be honest with yourself that you do want it too much, and let the Lord help you to die to it.
Amen.
And it could be in the process of time, if you really do die to it, that He could add it to you later.
Amen.
But it's not an idol to you.
Amen.
Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness. Well, that's wanting somebody sexually too much. Or somebody that's somebody else's spouse or whatever. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. Well, these terms are King James, but they're both talking about longings and desiring and wanting. And then he says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's why we've been talking about it all morning. Say it out loud. Covetousness is idolatry. What is idolatry? It's having another God. Right? It's seeking after another God. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's point one of five. Stand on your feet. Thank you, Lord. Can you come back? Do you think this is important? This is very, very important. So many people put so much emphasis on things down here. And you do need some things. But they must not have too big a place in our heart. The Hebrews talks about covetousness versus contentment. And he says, you know, that you could be content with such things as you have. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. And some people take that and ignore all the other scriptures in the Bible and say, well, that means you shouldn't desire anything. But no, that's not what he said. It's this issue of always putting your fulfillment and happiness into the future. When I get this, I'll be happy. When we get that, when we can retire, when I get that boat, when we can go on vacation and travel Europe, and when we can do this, it's not going to be as fantastic as you imagine it to be. No, nothing can fulfill you. What Jesus said when they asked him, you know, they went to get food for him. And they came back and he said, I have food to eat you don't know about. And they said, where did he get food to eat? Somebody brought him some. He said, no, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work.
Amen.
Accomplishing his will and plan and being of use to the church, to people, to furthering his gospel and kingdom, that will satisfy like you and me like no thing or money or house could ever touch. And when we know that, then we don't put so much undue emphasis on the things. We can believe for them, we can sow for them, but we don't wait till we get them to be happy. We're happy and content right now with God, with our things, and we realize that's the thing that makes us the happiest, is pleasing Him.
Amen.
Say it out loud, Father God.
Father God,
I love you.
I love you.
with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. I don't love things. I don't love money. I don't covet other people's things. You are my fulfillment. You are my satisfaction and my contentment. And you're a good God. And you will give me all manner of good things to enjoy as long as I put you first. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.